Well, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Diamond Dingers podcast. This one is on the AL Central. Juby and I both gave our thoughts on the White Sox, the Twins, the Royals, the Tigers, and the Guardians. Not in that specific order, but you get the point. Like we did in the AL East episode, we'll go over additions and subtractions, our thoughts on the team, and our picks for the win totals for this year. Appreciate you guys listening.
Now moving on to the AL Central, we got the White Sox. They added Andrew Benintendi, Mike Clevinger, Jake Mariznick, Billy Hamilton, and Hanser Alberto. They lost Jose Abreu, Johnny Cueto, Adam Engel, AJ Pollock, Vince Velasquez, Josh Harrison, and Danny Mendick. I like the addition of Benintendi. You added Clevinger, not in love with his pitching style. I don't think that boosts up the rotation. I think the losses here are outweigh the additions to this team. I think Johnny Cueto had a bounce back season that really helped out their starting rotation last year. Jose Abreu had a great offensive season again. He always knows how to do it and get it done. I'm not in love with the moves that were made. I don't think they did enough to win the AL Central and compete with the other two competitors and what they did in this offseason.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. You know, I think the talent base that they had of guys like Tim Anderson and Luis Robert Jr., healthy Eloy Jimenez, Yoan Moncada, Yasmani Grandal, and then the pitching side, you got Dylan Cease and Lance Lynn and Giolito, Michael Kopech. Like, there's a really good base here that already existed, but they didn't add a ton. You know, I would agree. I don't think Clevinger was a fantastic ad. He was really inconsistent last year with San Diego. I mean, it was disastrous at the end in the playoffs. Jose Abreu has been the leader of this team for a long time. He won an MVP, for Pete's sake. Yeah, I mean, I like Benintendi and left. It also should be mentioned that their top prospects, Oscar Colas, who I've seen a couple times watching their broadcasts, has looked really good in spring training, so he's probably going to break spring camp with a big league team. Yeah, I don't know. We have to look at the fact that they won't have Liam Hendricks for most of this season. It's not clear when he's going to be back. Nobody knows as he deals with Hodgkin's lymphoma. They were straight, you know, 81-81 last year. They were right down the middle. And this roster, I think, is more talented than 81 games. So, I don't know what to think of this team. I really don't. It's a lot's going to depend on the new manager.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sold on them. I don't think they did enough to compete, you know, with the Twins and the Guardians of this division. I think more needed to be done. But the starting rotation is really solid. I mean, you know, without Clevinger last year with Dylan Cease and Lance Lynn, they're going to get it done. Dylan Cease, I think he's going to have another Cy Young projection top year. I think Lucas Giolito needs to be a little bit better this year. Michael Kopech, what is he this year? And like you said with Clevinger, he was very inconsistent. They need him to be good to round out that rotation.
Wanted to have a note on Cease real quick. He had a phenomenal season last year. There's no doubt about that. I think, wasn't he like top three voting for the AL Cy Young? I'm not sure. The thing that concerns me with him a little bit is his walks. His walk percentage last year, according to Baseball Savant, was in the 14th percentile. That could be rough. I mean, like, if you're not having a good day, your stuff's not, you're not feeling it, you're not locating, and you're just walking people, you can have some bad starts. But everything else with him, man, I mean, it's all in the red. He's such a talent. But, you know, that's one thing that always kind of concerns me is when someone has a great year, but there's a little hole in their game, does that hole become bigger? It's going to be interesting to see with Cease. Yeah, I guess we'll just move on to what we think about their win total.
Yeah, Dylan Cease was second in Cy Young last year. So I think he's going to put up a good ace spot for the White Sox this year. Moving on to their over-under, I think 83.5 games is coming from Vegas. Two games better than what they were last year. I don't know if they did enough to get two games better. I think they're worse, but it's hard to bet against how much potential there is in that starting lineup. So based off of potential, I'm going over. But this is a team that can very easily go under if they have the same inconsistencies as they had last year.
Man, I thought you were going to go under for a second there. You kind of surprised me with that over. I mean, look, one thing I'll make very clear on this podcast, I'm sure, is that I'm a huge Tim Anderson fan, and he's been great in the WBC so far. They have a ton of talent. I really do like the core they have. It's just been getting the most out of that core that's been the problem. But for me, they're projected at this point to win 80 games. They won 81 last year. So Fangraphs doesn't think they're too much better. Vegas thinks they're a little better. I'm going to go under. I'm going to go under 83. I think this is still like an 82-win team. Now, I'm happy to be proven otherwise. But my gut just says go under, just barely under at like 82 wins. Maybe even 83. But that's just what I think.
Yeah, I see that. I mean, the bullpen didn't get any better. You got to have something to back up.
Yeah, they lost their best piece, too. And granted, Hendricks didn't have an awesome year last year, but, I mean, it's completely unclear. Their Fangraphs depth chart, they have, like, what, five closers right now? Like, it's completely unknown who's going to close games for them.
Yeah, you have Jake Diekman. You have Kendall Graveman. Jill Kelly. Yeah, I don't know who you're going to in the back end of a game when you need to get outs.
One thing that also kind of concerns me about this team is that there's not a lot in the farm that doesn't seem super, super ready. You know, Colas is one thing, but I mean, their other guy, Colson Montgomery, I mean, he's years away. So who knows what their depth is going to look like. But anyways, we'll move on to the Cleveland Guardians. They kind of surprised everybody last year, won the division, beat the Rays in the wild card, and then gave the Yankees a fight in the divisional series. I think they had a solid offseason based on the additions and subtractions. Their only two big league additions were Josh Bell and Mike Zunino. They added Roman Quinn and a guy like Tuki Toussaint on non-roster invite deals. And then their only two subtractions were Austin Hedges and Luke Maley. So they're just kind of resetting their catcher room. They did add Cam Gallagher on a non-roster invite. He's a solid defensive catcher, and they have Bo Naylor coming up too. So just adding one catcher shouldn't be an issue for them. But I mean, the question here is kind of, yeah, I mean, they addressed some needs in the offseason. Was it enough? Are they that much better of a team? What do you think?
I like the additions. I do. I like this Cleveland Guardian team. And with the shift change this year, which surprisingly hasn't come up yet in our discussion, but
it is not,
I think, though, that benefits the Cleveland Guardians. They are a team that slaps the ball around, and you know, when you add a couple guys like Josh Bell and Mike Zunino, those guys also have a little bit of pop they can run into, which this lineup was missing. I think you had Jose Ramirez. That was your pop, and he had a great year last year. I think he's a great part of this lineup. But when you add a couple of those key pieces, and Mike Zunino is not going to hit for average, but when he runs into a couple of them, that's a fear that other pitchers need to have. And that helps kind of round out some of this lineup. And this was a 92-win team in 2022.
Shocking.
I like this team a lot. I do.
Man, they're just a well-coached, well-managed baseball team. They play fundamental baseball. They get the most out of their young guys. And they have one of the most underrated superstars in the sport in Jose Ramirez. People still do not talk about him enough. He is so good. He's good with the glove. He's great with the bat. He's the catalyst for this whole team. Look, Josh Bell was a Padre for all of like 5 minutes last year, and he did not have a good season. But Josh Bell, overall, the player, he can add some power. He does hit for average. I think he fits this Cleveland team really well in terms of a switch hitter who can do it from the left, who can do it from the right, who can play some DH, who can play some first base. You don't question their pitching, man. I mean, Bieber and McKenzie, that's one of the top duos in the league. I do think they need to get a little more out of guys like Civale, Plesac, and Quantrill. But one thing that's really interesting about this team is their farm system. Their top six prospects this year are all projected to be in the majors at some point in 2023, which is crazy. That's insane. Now, that could be trade bait, but that could also be a ton of depth. and their pitching depth. Again, this is one of the better, I think, pitching labs in the league. And then they got Class A, Karinchak, Stefan in that bullpen. Ooh, man.
That is one of my favorite parts of this team is the bullpen. You know, with Karinchak and Class A, you're going to be coming in and it's going to be lights out when you got that lead in the eighth and ninth inning. But yeah. Going back to, you know, the additions of Zunino and Bell, Fangraphs projects them to have 19 homers each for the Cleveland Guardians this year. Three other players are projected to be over 19 homers, and that's Jose Ramirez, Josh Naylor, and
Oscar Gonzalez.
Oscar Gonzalez is at 19 exactly. So
okay,
you're adding two more players that are going to have potentially a 20 homer season. That adds a lot to this lineup.
Yeah, definitely. Zunino is projected to have a 200 batting average, but that's just Mike Zunino. He's going to give you good defense, and he's going to hit homers, and that's all he can do. And that's fine from a catcher. You don't need much more.
Well, and they're projecting him to bat eight, you know, behind Andrés Giménez and Oscar Gonzalez, who both have good on-base percentage. There's a chance you run into some additional runs there at the bottom of the lineup. I don't think they were getting last year. You kind of hit a dead spot, but you combine the additions and the potential prospects coming up. I mean, Bo Naylor has looked good in the WBC so far.
He has, yeah. So. Starting catcher for Canada. It's also interesting because, like, you know, Andrés Giménez, people knew who he was. He was a big part of that Lindor trade. But no one knew who Stephen Kwan and Oscar Gonzalez were at the beginning of last season. I did see Stephen Kwan in a spring training game. I was really impressed with his bat skills. He was kind of someone when the Padres were looking for another outfielder. I was like, could we trade for Stephen Kwan? And the Guardians fans that I spoke to on Twitter were like, no, there's no way. There's no way we're trading this kid. So they knew what they had. You could have that again this year where just some rookie comes out of nowhere and is phenomenal. And that's the thing with the Guardians that I really like is there's so much young depth. This team could win 90 games potentially. And they don't have a big payroll at all. They just do it because they develop players. Will they take the next step, though, and start trading players, you know, prospects for more proven players? I don't know. Does Cleveland really want to win that bat, or are they just content with where they are? That's another question I think I have, because the Dolan family does not like to spend money.
Yeah, and I think this lineup can do it. The batting average on average across the league last year was .243. There's only one player projected right now from Fangraphs on this team to hit under .250 or under .243.
That's Mike Zunino.
Mm-hmm. Everybody else is projected to hit above .252, which is a lot. You get base runners on and you're running into the additional 38 homers that they're projecting from Bell and Zunino. You're putting up more runs and your pitching staff say the same. I like this team.
Yeah. I think leads right into the win total. Vegas has them at 86.5. I feel like that's low. I think this is the best team in the division, and I'm not sure it's all that close. I don't know if they'll get to 92 wins, but what is your pick? Because I'm gonna go over on these guys.
I think you're accounting for playing more of the league, and I don't think that matters with this Cleveland Guardian team. I'm going over.
Yeah. It's interesting for them. I don't think they're a top 10 team in baseball, but I think they're close. I think they're really good. They're going to be a fascinating watch this season, for sure. For sure.
With the 25th largest payroll.
Yeah. So their front office must do something, right? Move on to the Tigers. Oh, man, yeah. they were brutal last year. I don't hate the Tigers. I kind of like the Tigers. But man, they were rough. There was an article I read where they had their position players. They had the most players in the league that were getting at bats that were league average or below league average or worse. So in terms of like wins above replacement batters, this was the worst in the league. And the unfortunate part when you look at the additions, I don't know if they got a ton better. They added Matthew Boyd. They bring him back. They add Mike Lorenzen, who had a solid season for the Angels. Nick Maton, Matt Vierling, two guys they brought over in the Gregory Soto trade. Talk about Soto in a second. They added Trevor Rosenthal, Cesar Hernandez, Matt Wisler, and Tyler Nevin. They lost Greg Soto, obviously. They lost Jamer Candelario, Tucker Barnhart, Andrew Chafin, Cody Clemens, Mike Pineda, Willie Castro, and Victor Reyes. I mean, man, I want to like the Tigers. I really do. But they did not get better this offseason. I think they added a little bit of pitching depth, which they needed because Casey Mize and Tarik Skubal are out for the year, it seems like. Well, Skubal might come back this year, but it's unclear. Mize is done. What do you think about the Tigers? Is there much to talk about?
There's not much to really undress here. They didn't get better. They didn't get worse. I think it's going to be a little while before we see a different Tigers team than what we've seen in the years past.
I would tend to agree. I like guys like Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson, but Torkelson still has some developing to do, and Riley Green needs to take that next step. He was the number one prospect in baseball at one point last year, and he was good. But look, I hate to like just shortchange a team and just barely talk about them, but I really don't think there's a lot to talk about here. They're just, I think they're the worst team in this division, and they're not close to the White Sox, Twins, or Guardians. And that's unfortunate, you know, because there was a time where this team was, they were the team in the AL Central.
Well, they were looking at this young talent coming up. I mean, Riley Green, Torkelson, those guys were supposed to come up and help change the outlook of this team. And Torkelson struggled last year. He really did. And both of those guys aren't projected to do, you know, much better this year. I think Riley Green's projected to be just slightly above league average for hitting for average, but he didn't add any pop to the lineup there. So, and then that kind of tapped out your prospects. I mean, they only got three other prospects now in the top 100, and none of those guys are close to being MLB ready. They're all in high A or double A. So,
yeah,
I think you're going to see a similar run back for this Detroit Tigers team.
It should be mentioned, though, that their big offseason additions last year, Javi Baez, Austin Meadows, Eduardo Rodriguez, all three of those guys struggled for different reasons. Meadows stepped away from the game for a minute because of mental health issues. Eduardo Rodriguez just kind of disappeared, and no one really knew where he went. And then Javi Baez just really, really struggled. Now, I personally like Javi Baez. I mean, I like a guy with personality who just swings at everything. It's fun for baseball. They got to get their most out of those guys. Those are big additions last year that I think made people go, yeah, dude, Tigers can take that next step. And then when they didn't, this whole team just collapsed. They're going to be, I won't say interesting to watch, but if they can do better than they did last year, you know, that'll be positive for them. They have to see some positive growth, though. Have to.
Javi Baez being one of the only two veterans out of that starting lineup. I mean, you got Miguel Cabrera, obviously, on the bench, who adds a lot. But Javi Baez has got to step up. You know, I think this Cabrera doesn't have many years left. Baez has got to step up in that veteran leadership role. And quite frankly, he hasn't done that yet. I think we need to see a lot more out of Javi Baez, both on and off the field.
Yeah, I sometimes forget that Javi Baez is a Tiger. I don't know why. They were just that irrelevant last year. I feel bad saying that, but they were.
Leads us into the over-under. Vegas has got them sitting at 70.5. I think last year they ended at 66-96. Where do you sit on this Detroit Tigers team? Are they better than last year?
I don't think so, but it's interesting. FanGraphs has them at 72 wins this year, which I think is very generous. I got to go under here. I feel like they could probably push 70 wins, but I would be a little surprised if I saw it. If they keep getting injured, there's just not a lot here, you know? I mean, you trade also their bullpen is projected to be, I believe, one of the worst in major leagues. Tiger fans might not like to hear that, but they are. There's not a lot here. I mean, you take a look at their relief pitchers. They have two players who are projected to have a 0.5 WAR or better this season. That's Alex Lange and Jason Foley. And if you've never heard of those guys, I don't blame you. So, I mean, their starting pitching is whatever. It's fine, I guess. Their bullpen does not look good. They traded their best arm. I think it'd be crazy to pick the over.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm going under here.
There you go. Easy. And we'll move on. There's not a ton to talk about with the Tigers. I feel like we probably milked that cow as much as we could have.
Yeah, I think that sums it up for the Detroit Tigers. Moving on to the Kansas City Royals out of the AL Central. They added Jordan Lyles. They brought back Zach Greinke. Ryan Yarbrough They brought in Aroldis Chapman, Jackie Bradley Jr., Matt Duffy, Johan Camargo, Josh Taylor, and Framil Reyes. They also lost Ryan O'Hearn, Adalberto Mondesi, Michael A. Taylor, and Jake Brents. I think they brought in a couple pitchers. I like the addition of Framil Reyes, but they also lost great defensive players in Mondesi and Taylor. Not a lot that this team's going to get better at, but I don't think they get any worse. What are your thoughts on kind of some of the players that they brought in and lost this year?
First off, I want to say I love the way you say Adalberto Mondesi. You put some real pizzazz on that, and I like that. But yeah, I mean, I don't think they got a ton better. They added some veteran arms to the pen and to the rotation. That's nice. This team really feels like they're just kind of waiting for those prospects, you know, to take that next step. I mean, you look at that their lineup, and it's Bobby Witt. He's got to have a great season. MJ Melendez, you know, is he going to play catcher? He was actually, I believe, the worst blocking catcher in baseball last year. So he might just play mostly outfield. Salvi Perez, Vinny. Man, this name always gets me. Pasquantino, I think is how you say it, I believe. Hunter Dozier, Kyle Isbell, Edward Olivares, Michael Massey, and Nate Eaton. That is a really, really young team. Only two players in that lineup are over the age of 30. So they are banking on these guys taking those next steps. And, you know, I think that's risky when you're in a lineup that doesn't have a ton of protection for those young guys, where they have to step up. So I agree. I like the Framil Reyes addition for them. He's projected to hit 10 homers off the bench. He can just kind of DH for you, do what you need. He did not have a good season last year, but, you know, for a guy that's as swing and miss as he is, it makes sense. Granted, though, I mean, Scott Barlow was a really good closer for them last year, so that's a positive. I don't know, man. I will say this. I like this team a little more than the Tigers because I think they're young. They have more young talent that's going to be better right now.
Yeah, they do. I think they still struggle outside of the top four hitters. I mean, Pasquantino has to come in and have a good year. Bobby Witt, I think he's going to do it. I think he's the real deal. Melendez and Perez, they're going to come back and do it. Outside of your top four, though, you're struggling, and they don't have a lot of veteran status or guys that have been there and done that before. That's why I like Framil Reyes. He's been in the league for, you know, a little over 4 years now. I think he's shown that he can handle it. I don't think he's a superstar, but I think he's enough to help out the bottom of this lineup where they need it. But jumping over to the rotation, the rotation gets a little bit better with Jordan Lyles. You know, he had a good, not great year. He, you know, kind of just did it at league average. So he's going to get you innings and he's going to eat them up for you. And Granke, man, he's just been doing it for a long time. I mean, he's probably going to hit age 40 this year while still doing it, nearing 20 years of service in the league.
Just but nuts.
They had some standouts with like guys like Scott Barlow last year. What does Aroldis Chapman bring this year? Is he, you know, a throwback to, you know, 4 or 5 years ago? Or are we going to see the same Aroldis Chapman that we saw struggling with the Yankees last year?
Mm-hmm. I will say Brady Singer did not have a good outing in the WBC, but I do really like Brady Singer. This rotation goes as he goes. The other guys that they have are solid veterans, but Singer is the guy that can, if he can push towards being an ace, maybe the Royals take that next step this year. But when we look at that win over under, it's at 69.5, which is a great number. It's a great number. What do you think? You going over or under here?
I mean, let's see. Where were they at last year? They're at 65 and 97. I don't feel like they got much better. I think that them and the Detroit Tigers kind of have a similar run back season. You didn't add enough to the lineup to produce the runs they need. I'm going under.
They're projected at 73 wins this year, which I think is a bit much. I'm going to go over. Screw it. I think they can get to 70 wins this year. A lot of that depends on Singer and Witt, Melendez, and if someone steps up in the outfield, but I think they go. I think they can get over. I'll take a risk. Why not? I think we've been pretty safe with our picks so far. I'll take a risk. Let's move on to the Minnesota Twins, man. Woo! Big offseason. A lot of drama for them. They got Carlos Correa back. Carlos Correa signed like $800 million worth of dollars this year. but he's a twin again. I think everyone is really happy that he's back. I think he's happy to be back. They added Joey Gallo, you know? They added Christian Vasquez, Donovan Solano, Pablo Lopez in that Arias trade, Kyle Farmer, and then they got a couple guys, your bullpen guys, and AJ Alexi and Dennis Santana. They do lose Luis Arias, who was a huge part of their team last year. He's the AL batting champion. They lose Mike Fulmer. They lose G. Urshela, Gary Sanchez, Dylan Bundy, Chris Archer, and Miguel Sano. What are kind of your thoughts on the Twins? Where do you think they stack with the Guardians and the White Sox in terms of the pecking order?
Yeah, man, they're an interesting team. I think they got better with Christian Velasquez behind the plate. Gallo, I'm not high on Gallo, man. I know the shift isn't in this year, but in spring training, they showed there's still a version of the shift they can have. Sacrifice that left fielder and put him out there in right field, keeping your infield in there. I don't think Gallo's going to approach the plate differently to help bring any change to this team. Does Byron Buxton stay healthy? I think having Michael A. Taylor to be able to play out in center field, get Buxton some more DH days, I think that's big to getting Buxton some more at-bats and plate appearances this year. But there's a lot of question marks. I mean, I think Correa's is going to do it, but Jose Miranda, Christian Vasquez, Kirilloff, Kepler, I think there's inconsistencies with these guys that when they're hot, but when they're cold, it is ice cold, and you kind of add more of that with Joey Gallo.
No, I like Joey Gallo. I mean, no, you don't, because you're a Yankees fan and you're really sour on him, but maybe getting out of a big city is, you know, a big market. Not that Minnesota's a small city, but getting somewhere that I think he feels a little more at home is going to be key, because he just didn't feel it in New York and he wasn't feeling it in LA. I'm rooting for Gallo. I like him. He seems like a good dude. Another guy that we also haven't mentioned is Jorge Polanco, who had a pretty dang good season last year. Yeah, this is not a perfect team. I don't think there is a perfect team in the AL Central, though. Even the Guardians have their question marks. But they made a lot of additions. They're really trying. Their rotation is interesting because they have Pablo Lopez, Sonny Gray, Joe Ryan, Tyler Molly, and Kenta Maeda. And let's be honest, those are all three pitchers. Not a single one of those guys are an ace. And that could be an issue.
Yeah, it could. I mean, I like their bullpen, though. I mean, I like Theobar. I like Johan Duran. That guy throws some absolute gas.
He's disgusting, yeah.
Jorge Lopez, he's also nasty. I mean, they traded for him from Baltimore last year. That guy can deal. Emilio Pagan, I like this bullpen. For me, the question mark rotation, I think Pablo Lopez is good. He did it for Miami last year. Sonny Gray is good. You never know what you're going to get, though. He can be really good. He can struggle, kind of like he did in New York. I like Joe Ryan. He's nasty with it. Some question marks in the back end, but they're pretty league average across the starting rotation. I like the back end bullpen. It's just a lot of inconsistencies with their day-to-day lineup. So that's the question mark for me, is do the batters show up and hit the ball this year?
Yeah, the depth of their rotation is going to be interesting, too. It's interesting, of the projected six starters, if Chris Paddock is healthy, all of those guys were acquired by trade. So they've not been developing starting pitching. Now, guys like Bailey Ober, they traded for Simeon Woods Richardson. I think that Jordan Blazovic, he might come up this year. Blazovic, yeah. Going to be interesting to see, you know, if they get some injuries.
Like you're talking about with Chris Paddock, I think, you know, he had Tommy John, so I don't know when his projected return is. Looks like he had a surgery 5/18, 2022. You know, maybe, I don't know what's his Fangraphs innings pitch this year?
Fangraphs, none. They don't have him projected for anything.
So, yeah, I mean, if you're counting him out, they added Pablo Lopez. It's an interesting team.
Lopez is an upgrade over Paddock, though. And I'm a Padre fan. I like Chris Paddock well enough. But I don't know. The win total projected by Vegas is 83.5 wins, which I think is a very interesting and very tough number, because this team last year, they won. Oh, my God. Will I find it? They won 78 games last year. Do you think they can flip it, or what are you going to pick?
They won 78. They lost some key players in Arias and Urshela. Sanchez struggled. I know Sano struggled a little bit. I'm going under. I don't think they're better than they are last year. I don't think that the lineup can bring it. I think they're too hot and cold to produce a good enough season to beat the over.
Yeah, I'm tough because I don't quite agree on the lineup. I think I'm a little higher on it than you are. I think a fully healthy Carlos Correa, which who knows if that's ever going to be a thing because no one wanted to touch him in free agency. 83 is a tough number. They're projected at 83 wins by Fangraphs. I'm going to go under, but I'm going to project them at 83. I think they hit 83. I'll go with that fans graph projection. I think that's pretty accurate. So there you go.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting season for the Minnesota Twins.
Definitely.
I'd like to see that city do it again.
Well, that wraps up this episode of the Diamond Dingers podcast. We appreciate you guys listening. If you want, you can follow us on Twitter at DiamondDingers_. We'll post links to all our episodes there and our thoughts on baseball in general. Like I said, we appreciate you guys listening. Catch you next time.